10-ish. Okay, let's do this, shall we? There we go. All right, I'm so sorry. It's kind of tilted on us like that. Let's go ahead and get into this. Who's got something big coming up this week?
Anybody? I got an interview.
Interview? You have a test?
I have a calculus final.
Final. Yes.
Paris Island.
Always love France.
It's 2 months. No, 2 weeks.
That's awesome, though. It's where the Marines go.
Yeah.
That's what I
got.
Oh. Just to be a Marine, you have to run 3 miles in 21 minutes. Just to get in. It's easy. But for somebody just walking in off the street.
Hey, I'm a Marine, but not now.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. It's not really that easy for some of us. Okay, let's get into this. Let's pray and we'll do this. It's a weird one, but it'll make sense. Thou shalt not kill. What can you do with that? Well, let's figure this out. Lord, thank you so much for your word. We pray, God, that you would enable us to hear and understand from you. God, guide our thoughts. Thank you for the fun we can have. Lord, let us settle right now on this command of yours. And we pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thou shalt not kill. Pretty cut and dry. Just don't murder. There we go. That's it. Just don't murder. Exodus 20:13. Thou shalt not kill. Today I'm going to teach this command, maybe in a way you've never heard. Maybe. Who knows? Maybe you have. probably never heard before. I think you all know it's wrong to murder someone. Right? But two things today. Hopefully that's not a... No one took notes on that. Number one, we do break this command every day. We do. Against others and ourselves. And ourselves. How do we break this command every day? But first, a quick example. You tell me, how is this, or is it? I'm asking you. So here's how this goes. Stephen Bloomberg, owner of Stephen Lee Jewelers in Quincy, Massachusetts. Here's how this goes. He was awarded $35,000 over a lawsuit. What was the lawsuit about? A rival jeweler. That's right. There are rival jewelers. They snap around town and they sell jewelry. But a rival jeweler across town made up a Yelp review. And basically said the service was bad. I went in there last week. I wouldn't go in there if I were you. The quality's bad. And it affected his business. Like it took money away from him because people went with that Yelp review and they didn't go and visit him. So they rewarded him $35,000 for damages. I know. Here, this is the news report. They owed Bloomberg compensation and emotional distress he suffered due to false negative reviews, which were posted way back in August 2013. He injured the name of a person. He murdered him by name. He took his name. The guy made up a story about how he was mistreated by the business. He went in there and they were really mean to him. I would never go in there if I were you. So it was all a lie, but he killed his reputation. All right? He killed his reputation. Do you think that would be the breaking of the sixth commandment? Something to think about. Thank you, Thomas. Here's another one. Here's one from my own life. I will never forget one day playing Sega Genesis, which y'all know nothing about. Y'all know nothing about Sega Genesis. Playing Madden 92. Madden 92, that's right. And they're always playing it. What, they do?
They don't.
Oh, no, they don't. I mean, it's like you hit start and he's like, hey, I'm John Madden. But you go there. So this guy knocks on the door. He's angry. And I'm just sitting there playing, and I'm a teenager. I'm 16 years old. My dad opens the door. This guy's like, is that your kid? Is that his car? My dad looks at him. What in the world? He says, he was just driving around. They lived on a street just down the road, our old neighborhood. He was just driving around there, nearly hit my kid, nearly killed him. And you need to handle that. He just wanted to get the guy off the porch. So he goes, okay, I will. But he knew I'd been home for the past 5 hours. In fact, I wanted him to touch the bugs have four little exhaust valves that stay hot after you've been driving for 3 hours. Mine were cool. And I wanted to go, hey, touch it. I haven't been driving in the past 3 hours. Anyway, he said, that's your kid. What had happened was there's a child down the road doing something he shouldn't have been doing, playing on a tree or something like that, got injured, made up a story about how I was driving around and knocked him over and hurt him. And so the dad, yeah, I heard that story and thought I was the guy who came at me with some wrath. And the kid killed my reputation in that neighborhood. Like, I went from the good church kid to don't ride with that guy. He's crazy. And like, it, I couldn't hang out with certain people in that neighborhood because they bought that kid's lie. He was just trying to get out of trouble. So he killed my reputation. He killed my name. Like, I'd walk around that neighborhood and pretty much they'd be like, oh, here, there's that Fred kid, you know, with their little kids. Don't talk to him. That's how it kind of went. He killed my reputation. But that was no fun at all. I would say the kid broke the sixth commandment. He took a name. He didn't actually murder me. I mean, obviously. But he killed my name. Right? So, anyway, let's get into this. Basic definition. Let's start with this. Number one, pretty simple. Don't take someone's life. Okay. All right. Don't take someone's life. Well, you're getting at the age where you question things a bit. And it's I'm going to go ahead and say it's good to, like, explore your faith. And this is one of those parts where some people struggle with. Because Genesis 9, 5 through 7, God tells Noah, I'll get it right now. God tells Noah something. And I'm just asking you, is this a contradiction? Genesis 9, 5 through 7. Let's see, is this a contradiction? Don't kill. Genesis 9, 5 through 7 says this. And for your lifeblood, I will require a reckoning from every beast. I'll require it from man. From his fellow man, I'll require a reckoning for the life of man. Whoever sheds the blood of a man, by man shall his blood be shed. So it's basically the death penalty. If someone kills someone, kill him. Now, is there tension in there? We're just commanded not to kill. And then Genesis 9, 5 through 7 says, if someone in your community kills someone, take him out. Is there a contradiction there? Anyone? Yeah, just wondering.
So like this is done in a different light. Particularly since God's thing, from a just point, so I figure it's in the realm of justice sort of thing. I think about sacrifices. Sin is punishable by death. God already shows us that with sacrifices. But when you take another image bearer's life, how the weightiness of that kind of may transcend a sheep or...
But someone's going to have to take his life. Ooh. Well, here's how I would figure it out. You don't have to... You know, this is just me. It's the same way as when in Nazi Germany, some Nazis were knocking on the doors and there were Jews hiding in there. They said, any Jews in there? We're going to kill them. I think you can honestly lie with a good conscience because they've given up their right to the truth. They have given up their right to hear the truth because you know their intent is to kill. I would go with the same way with this. Whoever innocently just takes someone's life, plans it, plots it, does it in anger, they've given up their right to live. So God has given the state the sword, in Romans it says. He's given the state the sword, and that means to be capital punishment. That's how I would see it. But I kind of just don't want to leave you hanging with these ideas and texts and things like that because you're going to be, like in later on in life, in college and stuff like that, some people are going to come up to you and say things like, what about that? Don't kill. In your own book, it says, take the life of another who takes the life. So that's my thing. I think it's on society's shoulders to remove the guy from the land of the living. He's given up his right to live. Just as any Jews in there. Well, you don't have a right to the truth. You're just going to kill people. Okay, so anyway, broad definition. It's not just murdering someone. Not just murdering someone. It's not limited to that. In fact, I would say all of us break this command every day sometimes because it's this. How can we break this command? Envy. Look at that picture. Envy. Envy is weird because it breaks both tables of the law, right? The first one goes to God, second one to man. It breaks both. You're discontent with God and how he's withholding something from you, right? And you want to injure somebody. So, think about Joseph's brothers when their dad gave him a nice coat. You're old enough to understand that wasn't about a coat. That was about his pleasure, his delight in that son and not delight in them. That's what that was about. Wasn't it about the coat? Because what's funny is, like, when they actually got rid of Joseph, he's in the pit, he goes away, he's no longer their problem. One of the brothers just leaves. And you know why? I think it's because of this. He realized that didn't do it. That didn't take care of the problem. Joseph's gone, but I'm still envious. But anyway, they were going to kill him. Or how about Cain? That's the roadmap of envy. You know where envy leads you off? Murder. That's where it leads you off. Anger can be over pretty soon, but envy's different. Unresolved envy is truly breaking the sixth commandment, and it's really easy to hide. Envy means that you'd be slightly pleased if there were harm given to someone else. You'd be slightly pleased if you saw them go down in a way, publicly or physically or something like that. Sounds kind of weird, but as a freshman in high school, this truly did happen. I invited a friend of mine to a ski trip, and this guy, he's kind of braggadocious, kind of like, I'm a big deal. And I knew that. He was a friend of mine, so I invited him. And so whenever we had a downtime, like, we'd play football, and he would show off and show out, and all the men in the church would be like, man, that guy is awesome. That guy might get a D1 scholarship. He's really quick. That's your friend, Fred? And even as a 14-year-old, it sounds kind of kiddish, but I was like, well, yeah, but I'm good too. You know, I had that kind of thing going on. He was a freakish athlete. He was crazy good, but it drove me crazy. He would like smack talk and be like, you liked that, didn't you? Like, I invited you here. Come on, man. But on that ski trip, let me be honest, and this hurts to say, I feel horrible saying this. He on the slopes, he broke his arm. And I got to be honest with you, my little sinful, unsaved heart was like, can't be showing out now, can you? Can't be doing that. Not going to be bragging now, are you? Oh, goodness. That's envy. That's where envy leads. So you are breaking the sixth commandment. You kind of want them hurt in your mind. Can't show off now, can you? In reality, he was far and above a better athlete than I was, and I was envious. I was having trouble with that. So anyway, deep down, envy wants to see the other person hurt. And I'm telling you right now, that is breaking the sixth commandment. You want to see harm come to the other person as breaking it. Okay, how about another one? Okay, hatred. Think about the Pharisees. Jesus had more gifting than they did, had more authority, had more of a following, and how did they handle it? They weren't happy till he was on that cross. Anger. Unresolved anger. They weren't satisfied till he was on that cross dead. How about Haman and the Mordecai thing? He wouldn't bow to him, so he was like, you're gonna die. I will have you killed. Unresolved anger is seed form. Like, murder in seed form is unresolved anger. That's all it is. Murder in seed form is unresolved anger. That's how this works. If you hate someone, you're guilty of breaking this command. It is the early stages of murder. Just that 99.9% of the people, the population, don't bring it to 100%. So we can hate people with the hand, causing them physical harm. We can hate people with the mind, malice when we think about them. We can hate people with the pen, writing things about them. Or now, hate people with the fingers, texting. We can do all that. And here's how this plays out. Unwarranted anger. So Matthew 5, 21-24 is kind of crazy. Like, in the context of a worship service, Jesus says, if you look across the room during the worship service and the elements are right there for the Lord's Supper, and you go, I can't stand that guy, you should not take the elements until that's handled. And that's, we don't really preach that, but that's what he's saying. Leave it at the altar. Don't do anything till that's handled. So if you look across the room, I can't stand, I remember when they were like, we were in fourth grade. And I got, wow. No, don't do that. So anyway, sixth commandment, that's breaking it. You can wish someone dead just from being angry. In fact, murder in seed form is unresolved anger. So these are all ways we can break the sixth commandment without physically killing someone. We do it in our thoughts. We do it in our tongues. We kill some people with our words. We can kill someone in our thoughts. Remember Jesus saying, you've heard it from old. If you're angry with your brother, That's the same as murder. Angry without reason. Same thing as murder. Okay, that's the negative side. How can we put this command in the positive? Don't murder. How about this? Seek life. Seek things that produce life. So, the first part was against others. We break that a lot. How about against ourselves? Do we break the sixth commandment against ourselves? Well, I would like to say yes, we do. We're commanded to preserve life. Preserve life in ourselves and in others. That's the command. Preserve life. So, this is what the Larger Catechism says. We're to obey this command with quietness of mind and cheerfulness of spirit. You know why they wrote that back in the 1600s? You know why they wrote that? Because we're so prone to not trust God. And when you don't trust God, your life will be filled with anxiety, worry, and that cuts your life short. That is cutting your life short. That is harming yourself, harming your health. That's what anxiety does to our personalities. It harms it. We are, in a sense, killing ourselves when we spend our time not trusting God and worrying ourselves to death. You've heard that phrase, worrying ourselves to death. It takes a toll on you when you don't trust God. Our life is cut much shorter when we spend days worrying and not trusting. I love what one guy says. He says this, worry, anxiety, and a pessimistic attitude cause tremendous amounts of wear and tear on the human personality. We can take life from ourselves if we're prone to look toward the negative side of things and don't trust God. Oh, excuse me. Okay, so next thing to think about, though. How about this? How else can we rob life from ourselves? What the divines, the Westminster divines, the guys who wrote the catechism said, immoderate use of meat, drink, and sleep. Sober usage of meat, drink, and sleep. Another way of taking life away from ourselves is to indulge too much. Indulge too much. You're actually, and this sounds crazy, sounds weird, but you're breaking the sixth commandment with unhealthy lifestyles if that's a daily thing every time. Eat too much, drink too much, whatever it might be. This is something we don't touch in the church. I've never heard a sermon on gluttony because it's just like, don't go there. We will talk about the more in-your-face sins, but gluttony, you're not going to find anything about that. But it will eventually lead to an early death. Will it not? So you're taking life from yourself in a sense. So am I preserving my life to the best of my ability if I eat fried chicken and ice cream every meal? No, I am killing myself, right? In a sense, slowly. And in a way that maybe is not as in your face. Am I disobeying the commandment? I sure am. It will lead to a premature death. So in fact, that would be breaking the sixth commandment. Okay, but we can get carried away with this because there's a line between that and legalism. Because I got to be honest with you, sometimes like... About a week ago, Thomas was at my parents' house, his grandparents, and they have a scale, and he's like, hey, Daddy, look how much I weigh. Oh, cool. It's your turn, Daddy. Down there, it's like, oh, goodness. Oh, what happened? And so I've been on this kick, like losing the app and stuff like that. But what happens in this heart of mine is I get legalistic. Like, I'll go somewhere, and I'll see somebody chowing down on something and be like, it's bad for you. Wow, that's an inner legalistic attitude. It needs to be done away with. Done away with. And here's a Bible verse that says, now the Spirit says that in later times some will depart from the faith. They forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good. All right, so I'm not sitting here saying don't ever eat anything that's good. No, not at all. It's just we have a bend to make that ultimate. And actually, that's breaking the sixth command. Actually. But receive it with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by prayer and the word of God. Food is a gift. We must receive and enjoy it. It is the immoderate use which we have to repent of, not the use of it. The immoderate use. When we overuse it. When we ask it to do something for us it was never designed to do. Comfort, whatever it might be. Anyway, here's the story. I want to ask you about this. At this very church, 22 years ago, here's what happened. And I'm just going to simply ask you, was I breaking the sixth commandment? 16 again. And myself and a guy named Rob, Better not use his name. His parents don't go here. We were, after youth group, we both had cars, right? I got my dad's little hatchback. He's got his parents' little Cougar or something like that. And we're on Alpine Drive going back home. He revs up. Oh, me being a 16-year-old kid, I'm like, oh, you want to go? I've got a Honda Civic with four valves ready for you. And so, yeah, I was. He starts speeding up. I start speeding up. He starts speeding up. And we're in a residential neighborhood right by your house, going about 65, 70 miles an hour. Mailboxes are this close. Now, again, I did not know the Lord. I was just doing what a worldly person does. Was I breaking the sixth commandment? Yes. Yes. That is an early death waiting to happen. That is playing with life and death. I praise the Lord nobody came out playing on the side of the road. You know, a ball comes down, so something like that. We're done. That is breaking the sixth commandment. That's treating life very lightly. Some of y'all are thinkers. And you're going to say, well, what about like roller coaster rides? What about like thrill seeking? I would say that's not breaking the sixth commandment. Because 99.999% of the time, those have been tested. It's good. There are rare exceptions, but for the most part, 100%, 99.999% of the time, that's just a temporary pleasure thing. So, yeah, but I would say most definitely, that type of behavior, reckless abandonment, yes, you're breaking the sixth commandment. Me and Rob broke it. Then. So, all right, so we close with this. All this to say, the point of the law is sort of like a school bus driving you to Christ. That is the whole point of the law. You're supposed to read it and go, I can't quite do that. Good. I know somebody who did. That's the whole point of the law. So the command, all of commandments, this one tempts us to say, I don't need to worry about that one. That's the number one thing people say. Oh, I'm good. I've never killed anybody. Oh, you never killed anybody. Oh, well, you're heaven. You know, yeah. If that's the standard, that's the number one thing they say. I've never killed anybody. Well, tonight, hopefully you have a little tension. Do I have this one down? Am I as confident on this one as I was with the others? The law drives us to Christ. Think of this. When Jesus was to be crucified, remember what the scene. There, Pontius Pilate was like the Roman guy, and he was like, well, I usually have a tradition. He's flaky. He's trying to play both sides. He goes, I don't want to kill this Jesus guy. Well, you know, usually we do this thing where we send out a criminal, right? And we'll send out this criminal, Jesus. You're free to go. And the crowd goes, no, send out that guy, Barabbas. Send out Barabbas. And by the way, his name, thought I'd never use Hebrew, is this. Abba is father, son of the father, Barabbas, son of the father. So get what's going on there. Jesus starts to go, and then the crowd goes, no, we want Barabbas. Barabbas comes out, he's free, and Jesus goes in. So son of the father is released, and the son of the father is treated as a criminal. Get what's going on there? There's an identity switch, and that's all of us in here. We're all guilty. We've had an identity switch. Son of the Father for son of the Father. So I just want you to rest in that switch. Jesus was put in the seat of the murderer, and the murderer was set free. So Jesus was punished as if he had murdered, and Barabbas, the murderer, was completely free. The Passion of the Christ shows this kind of almost humorously. The guy's like, yeah, I'm out. But I don't know if you've seen the movie, but that's sort of that scene. So for all those times you've murdered someone in your speech, for all those times you've murdered someone in your thought, which, I mean, let's just be honest here. Some of us struggle with that so much. I know I do. Like, oh my goodness, who is that guy? For all those times, there is a Savior who switched places. For all those social media posts, those private messages, or even in your own head, there's a Savior who is wounded. For every time you've used creation as an idol and done damage to your body, there's a Savior for that as well. Just don't ever forget the Son of the Father for the Son of the Father. You now stand with Christ's perfect record, and God is delighted in you. So I didn't mean to like glorify racing. That was horrible. And that guy, me and God got a hold of both of our hearts. We put that to death. And now he's like praise God, he's a real good godly guy, and we share a lot. But anyway, I didn't mean to sound like, hey, that was a fun time. You know, go try that. No, not at all. So anyway, let's talk about these things, and let's just pray, shall we? And we'll break off into groups. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that, Lord, we are guilty of this. And this is the one command that I think we all take stock in that we're doing pretty good in. But Lord, I pray that you would enable us to obey and obey freely with a heart of joy. Thank you for all those here gathered. And God, we just praise you for what Jesus, the true Son of the Father, did for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Sad times. Just next week, next Sunday night, we won't be meeting. But we'll be here for Sunday school, so come for Sunday school. But I'm very sorry. We had this situation. It's a good situation, but we couldn't quite turn it down or away. But come to Sunday school. We'll be there for that. Let's break off, shall we?